Hey guys, good evening. This is Truth, Lies, Shenanigans, the live show, and we're back. This is Wednesday, December 2nd, 2020. I go by the name Neo Nix, and I'm your moderator tonight for our return show, coming back fresh off the Thanksgiving holiday. Let me introduce you to my co-hosts. Hope you had a great restful time off, our professor and journalist and cat lover, Lizzie Enders.
Good evening. Happy hump day, everyone. No, I did not have any rest for the Thanksgiving break. I cooked, I cleaned, I graded 1,001 papers, and I'm still grading papers. So no rest. It's the Enders. But I'm glad to be back.
Well, we're glad to have you back. And our Canadian rock star with the band Fallen Machine and loving grandpapa, Robbie Rock.
Hey, everyone. Great to be back. It's great to be back to do a live show. It was a nice little break, but excited to be on tonight.
Good to have you, Rob V. Rock. And out of Atlanta, Georgia, our production assistant turned co-host tonight, Gianni Storm.
What's up, Gianni? Hey, guys.
Hey, Gianni.
Everybody enjoyed their break.
Yeah, I did. I needed some rest. So I'm good. It was a good restful break. We've been busy for the past few months. All right, for today's show, all hot topics, Rob B is sharing the heartbreaking solution some people are taking rather than deal with another depressive COVID lockdown. Lizzie is asking, should kids go back to school the way the olden days of the pandemic management were, outdoor schooling? I'll be talking about Stacey Abrams being investigated for her efforts getting folks registered to vote in the critical Georgia Senate elections. And Gianni Storm talks about Big Worm, a.k.a. Faison Love, suing a movie studio and dropping the racist card for getting pulled out of a movie poster. All right, remember, our shows are live just about everywhere. YouTube, Facebook, Periscope, Twitter, at TLS Live Show, and you can watch us live at truthlieshenanigans.com. Share the feed, invite your friends. Most importantly, join in the conversation with us. We want your live comments and questions to be part of the show. And so you never miss an episode, don't forget, subscribe on YouTube or wherever you listen to your podcast, iTunes, Google, Alexa, iHeart, we're all over the place. Now, before we jump into our quick fire question, now that we have our wonderful Gianni Storm back on the panel, I told her the next time she was on the show, she'd have to tell us all about her runway show that she had a few weeks ago.
Oh, yeah.
Look at that Gianni Storm. So where was this, Gianni?
This was at the Runway Curls and Salon Suite in downtown Atlanta, Georgia. It's a really popular salon out here, and they specialize in Black natural hair and just like extensions for natural hair and stuff like that. But yeah.
Awesome. It looks like you did a great job. So did you get a lot of feedback on it?
Yes, I'm actually waiting for the runway pictures. Maybe I can present that to you guys, or we can drop it on Facebook one day. But I'm actually waiting for the runway pictures. This is just like people in the crowd who have sent me these pictures. I don't really know them, but they sent me, I mean, not these pictures, these videos.
strangers are sending me video of me. That's not a lot.
Yeah. I don't know who they are, but.
Yeah.
Nice. All right.
Yeah, so
great job.
It was a lot of fun. And I prepared for like a month and a half for it. But thank you guys for presenting that.
All right. Good job, Gianni. Good to see
you. Thank you.
All right, guys. Time to move on to our quick fire question. We finally had our first viral TikTok video, 2.6 million views and more than 500,000 likes.
We take our next steps into the world.
You must go forth into the world.
It is with passion.
Passion.
Courage of conviction.
Courage in your conviction.
And most importantly. Have faith in yourself.
Be true to yourself.
We did it!
I did it.
We did it!
All right. Question to you guys. Is it even possible for the Trumps not to lie, cheat, and steal? Robbie?
Yes, I don't think it is possible for them. Like, although Trump has been borrowing the look for the last couple of decades, I still think that Mike Score from Flock of Seagulls wore that hairstyle best in the 80s.
Lizzie Enders.
Hell no. They've been doing it all this time, so why should they start? Lied all the way to the White House, so hell no.
Johnny Storm?
I agree. No, it's not possible. They're going to continue. This is how they do it. This is how they get to the game.
Me personally, I think the only thing he's ever been truthfully honest about is how much he loves his daughter.
Oh, yeah. Ooh, shade.
Yeah, so, yeah. Yeah, he steals, lies, like Lizzie said, he lies, steals, and cheated his way into the White House. So, and he got there.
The American way. It's the American way.
It is the American way. Very true. All right, so let me tell you, our viewers, what Truth, Lies, and Shenanigans is all about. We'll be sharing our truths and opinions with you, calling out the lies and pointing out those ridiculous shenanigans going on. But most importantly, on this show, we like to have fun with some shenanigans of our own. But one rule only, no cussing.
Cuss all you want. Cuss all you want.
That's Lizzie Ender's rule. She has her own personal rule.
Tonight's curse word. Vito.
Vito. What does that mean?
Vito.
I want you to say it so you know $10.
I said it. Vito.
Oh, is that a cuss word? I didn't even know it was a cuss word.
Yeah, I got to talk to my Finnish connections.
One, you got to learn how to spell it correctly.
That's true.
Or you look it up, and then you'll find out what it means. Voi vittu. Voi vittu.
I wonder what it means.
So I saw a quick comment from Ernest Cooper. It's not about truth, lies, or Trump's lies.
It's all shit.
Welcome back, Ernest.
All right. So we've got a lot to talk about. So let's roll right into our hot topics. Hot topics.
Truth, lies, shenanigans.
All right. The way Hot Topics works, one of our hosts will start us out and they'll tell us about their topic. Tell us if it's a truth, a lie, or shenanigans, and exactly what went down. And then we'll talk about it with our panel until time is up and our friend Genji shows up. He'll drop in and let us know that time is up. Then we'll stop, we'll go to our live audience questions and comments online, and we'll talk about it for just a little bit more. So make sure you're online talking to us. Once we're done, we'll move on to our next host. All right, Rob B, I'm gonna start with you. Is this a truth, lie, or is this shenanigans?
This is a truth. It's a very sad reality that some people are facing during this COVID pandemic. Now that we've been in it, and we're almost a year in. Some people have been in lockdown since January. So this, unfortunately, is just a reflection of how important our mental health is. If you wouldn't mind pulling up the picture, Neil.
Yep.
Pull it up, Neil.
Yeah. So that's an image of Nancy Russell, a 90-year-old Canadian who was living in an elderly care facility. She wasn't sick with anything, but COVID-19 took her life because rather than live another month isolated by another pandemic lockdown, she chose medically assisted suicide. So pre-COVID, the facility that she was at featured communal dining. They had a very rich schedule of activities. Miss Russell was able to do her own shopping. She remained very active. She was a very social person. Then after the COVID-19 measures were put into place, residents were eating meals in their rooms. A lot of the activities and social gatherings were being canceled because of regulations. Family visits were curtailed or eliminated. Sometimes they would meet behind just plastic tarps. Wow. So it really limited the ability for her to interact with her family. And her daughter was just so sad. Just some of the quotes that she had during the interviews, that being mobile was everything to my mom. She almost overnight went from a very active lifestyle to a very limited lifestyle. And they had very early on a complete 2-week confinement to just her room. And when she wanted to be more active, the recommendation was, well, stand up and sit down in your room, stretch. So for someone who goes out and does her own shopping, has some level of independence, I can appreciate where it just became too painful to go on that way. And I think it's a very sad reality of what's going on. Now, it's important to note medically assisted suicide is legal and available in Canada. So everything was done on the up and up, and she did pass with her family around her. So she went out on her own terms. And I really just, I wanted to bring this to light because we've discussed mental health and the importance of it so much. And now this is just an ongoing thing for a specific demographic. We're seeing an influx of these numbers in the aged population. And I just really want to get a reaction from the panelists as far as, you know, do you know any elderly people in your life? Do you have any elderly people in your life who are facing similar struggles? Lizzie,
did you want to start?
I want to say not that I know of. My sister Jacqueline and I, we have an uncle who is still with us here in Washington, D.C., and he just had his 82nd birthday, celebrated his 82nd birthday in November. But he's at home. He's at home. He's a widow. You know, he's a widower. My aunt passed away in 2018, so he lives at home with his son. But yeah, he's not in a facility. But then I have a cousin whose grandmother is in her 90s, and she is in, I don't even know if it's called an assisted living facility. I think it's a kind of a step above that, if you will. But she's in her 90s, and so far she seems to be happy there. So I can't say that I personally know anyone who is elderly, who is going through struggles, but I'm not surprised. Like, this isn't a story that surprises me or shocks me. I do still find that it's very sad. And I think it's one of the things that no one really considered in the beginning, back in February and March and April, when our government was denying that all of this was happening and denying how bad this could be, we didn't take into account the mental health of people who are confined in these type of facilities, who don't have access to their families, who don't have access to their normal routines, who don't have access to, like Rob said, even basic exercise. Like, going outside for a walk, or maybe if there were some type of exercise classes on the premises, they can no longer do that. So this doesn't surprise me the least little bit, and it's very, very sad. And in addition to that, I would argue that aside from the elderly, it also probably is taking a tremendous toll on people who were already suffering from some type of mental illness. And they're no longer able to get access to possibly their doctor or whatever routine or vice they had to help them through that illness. So it's a very real phenomenon that is happening. But we don't, Rob, we're not hearing a lot about it so far yet here in the States. At least I haven't.
Not much. Johnny Storm, your thoughts?
I think that I don't know anybody specifically. Besides my grandmother, but she lives with a lot of my family. So I know that she's in personally dealing with, I know a lot of what a lot of elderly people are dealing with in assisted living and nursing homes and things like that. I've actually worked at a nursing home before. It is quite sad. It's actually quite sad. But I think that I'm actually surprised that we're only hearing about one story. I know that it's kind of.
I'm surprised at that as well. I agree with you.
Yeah. I feel like maybe we, unfortunately, maybe we will hear more stories similar to this. And it's just, it's really unfortunate. It's really weird though that it's only like we're hearing this one story about it.
And that's in the States. Again, this is a story about a Canadian woman. Like in the States, it's been, we haven't heard anything about this aspect.
I'm really surprised that we haven't heard more about the suicides and the suicide rate, that they're not really reporting on it. I mean, as far as me, I think, you know, this is definitely sad. And I have a older mother-in-law who was living up in New York for a while. She actually just recently moved down. because, you know, she was going through this COVID, and when COVID hit, she was up there pretty much by herself and there was nobody to help her. We ended up going up to get her and bring her down to stay with us when, you know, initially hit, because we had no idea what was going on with COVID. All we knew is, you know, this pandemic was hitting. We didn't know if we knew that New York had shutting down, and we're like, we've got to go get my mother-in-law. She stayed with us for a few months. And then ultimately things started to calm down and we got an idea of what COVID was, you know, how to avoid it and things like that. But I get it too. When you get a certain age, you know, in some ways, you know, all you live for is like love and family interaction, you know, and being with loved ones. And, you know, but even the young people are struggling. That's why I was saying, I'm surprised we haven't heard about it. You know, we're a social species at heart. You know, certainly, you know, some of us are antisocial. I might be on that spectrum a little bit, but you know, some of those people are in heaven right now, but most people are social creatures, right? So, you know, like, you know, so recently we actually had a socially distanced outdoor Thanksgiving with our family, right? And it was amazing to see all the family and friends, and we were lucky to have that because the weather was great. But it hurt me to my heart to turn down hugs from my nieces and nephews. I had to turn them away. And then look on their face. I just wanted to just say F it, pick them up and just give them a big hug, but I knew I couldn't, right? I mean, not only would their parents be pissed at me, but you know, it's COVID. So, you know, but I can't imagine the devastating effects just on those kids. You know, their faces, when I said, no, I can't give you a hug, and they're just so sad. And I mean, it hurt. So
just to piggyback off of that quickly. So my New York family, you know, I lived in New York for 21 years, and two of my dearest friends in New York, their mother just had her 80th birthday right before Thanksgiving. And so they had a very small group of people in their brownstone to celebrate. Everyone had a mask. You could see, like, when they posted pictures on Facebook, you could see like the socially distanced points in the living room, which was a complete and stark contrast from, you know, 5 years ago, because I was still living in New York 5 years ago when she celebrated her 75th birthday. Hey, you Jeannie Birdsong. And so that was a grand affair. And there were tons of people. She had surprise guests come in. And so to see the muted version of that and to know that I'm stuck here in my house and I couldn't even be there for 80, it really made me sad. So I agree with you, Neo. Like, it's kind of like a sobering experience, even though we aren't, you know, those people.
Right.
Being able to connect to those people like we normally would, especially for these milestone occasions or just for the holidays, makes it very difficult and it puts a lot of things in perspective. Getting to some of the comments, I think Jeanette Brown brought up a very good point. She talked about tech support for the elderly and how that might have been something that was or is something that is overlooked as well. So she wrote, they also need tech support. My stepmother doesn't have an iPhone, can't figure out Skype, and is overwhelmed by email. It is challenging to be in touch with her. And I would have to imagine that the elderly population in this country and in Canada and elsewhere who are already kind of struggling trying to make the transition to all of this technology around them, and now to be cut off from that, that just makes it even worse. Yep. That just makes it even worse.
Robby, do you have any comments before we shut down?
Really, the crux of it for me is that this woman was able to provide a legal, legitimate basis for a medically assisted suicide. This wasn't just someone who took their life of their own volition. She was able to go through the motions, to go through all the proper procedures to get a medically assisted suicide. So the mental health aspect is very real, and we really owe it to ourselves and to our loved ones. Even if you don't care about someone, care enough to, if you have an exchange with them, that it's a real human interaction.
Yep. Totally agree. All right, to get some of those comments online, Gianni and I are going to tag team on this. Mike Winter made a really great point, because my wife actually suffers from this. So combine this with seasonal affect disorder and lack of sunlight. So, I mean, it just, you know, with these shutdowns, it could just go. What are you saying, Lizzie? I saw you putting your hands up.
Notice Rob and I are the same complexion right about now, right?
It's probably normal. Yeah. It's probably normal. It's probably, I'm sure it's not lighting or anything. It's probably normal.
I think so.
Did you see some comments, Kevin, Yanni?
Yeah, Kevin Thaxton said that it's sad that the only people that can help them with technology are the ones that may carry a virus that could kill them.
Oh, that's a good point.
Yeah.
No, I like that idea. It would be interesting if, I guess, the companies, corporate backing, like Skype stations, if you will, WebEx stations, Zoom rooms, just to set up an independent station where in facilities, or even if it's a mobile facilities for the day, and you can connect with your loved ones. I think that that would be a wonderful corporate initiative at this time.
I agree.
Jose says, at Rob B, and not hugging our granddaughter, our niece is walking away with tears in your eyes, hearts torn. We feel you, Neo.
Yeah.
It's so, I struggled with that. I mean, and the faces, their faces is all I really remember. I mean, it already hurt me because I love hugs. I mean, again, I might be somewhat antisocial, but I love hugs, especially people I care about. And, you know, it's tough. It's really tough. Yeah, I can imagine Grandpapa with that little cutie.
There have been those moments, yeah.
Yeah. All right, let's move on. We have a lot of topics today, so let's go ahead and move on. We're going to move on to our lovely Lizzie. Lizzie Enders. Lizzie Enders, is this a truth, lie, or shenanigan?
It's shenanigans. I mean, I always get the double-edged sword here.
You do.
It has some truth in it. There's definitely some historical truth, some factual truth, but in my opinion, it's shenanigans. So back in July, the New York Times posted this article talking about how during previous pandemics in this country, the education system decided that they were going to use alternative methods for school. And one of those methods was to have classrooms outdoors. During the flu pandemic, during the tuberculosis pandemic, they had classes outdoors. And so some of those classes, I think this is one of them actually, a lot of the classes in New York were on the ferries. A lot of them were in parks. A lot of them were just around the city at a time where it wasn't as developed as it is now. And so the whole premise of this article is doing a flashback to that time period and looking how various cities throughout the country engaged in outdoor classroom, outdoor instruction, and posing the question, should we do it now? Can we do it now? Is that a thing that we should be taking into consideration? And so before I give my entire diatribe as an educator, I want to pose the question to the panel, especially, you know, Rob, who lives in a country that I think in certain aspects values open space more than we do a little bit here in the United States. But overall, what do you guys think? Do you think this is a viable option in the United States, particularly during a pandemic, when Betsy DeVos was the head of education in the United States? Okay. Who wants to go first?
Why don't we start with Gianni Storm, the student?
I'm conflicted a little bit because I feel like on one end, it's like, well, what's the difference? Like, you're still congregating. I don't understand. Like, you can still get the
catch
virus.
Mm-hmm. You can still catch.
And then on the other end, but at the same time, I know that students actually do really well with like learning outside. I remember like back in the day, sometimes in grade school, we would be able to go outside and it somehow just rejuvenated your will to learn or something like that. But yeah, so I'm kind of biased. I mean, conflicted. I don't really know. I don't think I don't think it's like the best idea.
Okay.
Because I think that it's still unsafe and it still doesn't make sense. But I think that it sounds like a good idea. I mean, it could work. I feel like we should try it like with certain groups of of like certain ages of students and see how it works. But yeah.
All right. So since you wanted to hear from Rob B, I'll jump in, and then we'll have Rob B go just before you. But I gotta say, at first I was like, hell yeah, this is perfect. You know, I don't care. The kids can go out in the cold. You know. You know, they've been taught in the cold in the past. I remember when I was in school, we it was freezing in our schools, and you know, and it was hot. We didn't have air conditioning. I mean, when we were at Wilson together, we didn't have air conditioning. In fact, that's how I won student government president, because I promised air conditioning.
I don't even remember that.
I know, right?
Do you remember when we were in end of 10th grade, all of 11th grade, when Wilson was being renovated, and mm-hmm. we had classes in the hallways?
Yes, I do remember that.
And how ineffective that was. But continue.
Ineffective. I'm just saying, you know, but that was my first thought. You know, we have modern conveniences. You know, it doesn't mean we risk people's lives in exchange for those convenience. Plus, some of those modern conveniences can make outdoor easier, better. I mean, it won't be freezing because you can have heaters out, you know, outdoors. But then I realized, and I thought about it some more because I knew this was coming up. Back in the day, virtual learning was not a possibility, right? You know, but, you know, being that this is a temporary pandemic, I mean, not that it's going to magically disappear, but it's not going to always be a pandemic. You know, there's absolutely nothing wrong with learning virtually for the time being. I mean, and virtual learning is relatively effective. It's not as effective as in-person learning. We all know that. But I mean, comparing it to, and you're sort of right about being in the hallways and all that stuff, how ineffective that was. It was hard to concentrate and pay attention. But, you know, I think virtual learning is just fine. I don't see why they have to be forced to be outside. All right, Rob B.
All right. Yes, there's definitely value in outdoor education. There's absolutely value in outdoor education because you can tailor the lesson to the setting. You can pull from real world examples and make it really relevant. To touch on Johnny's point as far as not seeing the difference because they're still congregating, if you take a school that has, say, 20 classrooms, and for one day we can pull 5 of those classrooms out for outdoor learning, we then remove them from general population. We put them in their own little isolated settings for the day, the week, whatever the time period is. And you've liberated space within the school infrastructure, so you can then follow more safe social distancing rules. Then if we throw in the virtual learning for those who don't want to opt for the in-person, and this is something you could facilitate with the outdoor learning also, so that it can be delivered virtually to someone who doesn't want to be in groups, I think that you've got a really healthy mix at that point. You're keeping people safely away, and you're not really removing from the learning experience. And again, so many times where I remember as a kid just going out into the schoolyard and to have things, the real world made relatable to the lessons that I was learning. Even as a university student, when I was at the School of Education, a lot of the stuff that we were doing, we would just hike out into the conservation area behind the university. And it was just it was a wonderful experience in that respect. So I think that there's value in doing it from the education perspective and from the health and social distancing perspective.
All right, Lizzie.
These are all valid points. I think the one thing that set me off about this topic when this article came out again, because it first came out in July and then it was updated and reposted on the New York Times website last week. So the conversation started up again and it kind of went viral. And I got into several exchanges with people throughout the week about this topic. But one thing that, you know, bothered me about it is that with ideas like this, everyone thinks that it's an easy solution. It's something that can happen overnight. And I people were talking about we should do this in DC, we should do this, you know, I think it would be a viable option. And my first response was, where are we going to do this in Washington, DC? Where are we going to have the outside space to do this for Washington, DC currently? I mean, I'm not talking about the universities, I'm just talking about
it's tough in major cities.
But just in Washington, D.C., well, Washington, D.C. is a major city. I mean, it's a nation capital.
That's what I'm saying. I agree. It's tough in major cities.
It's tough in major cities. But I think people, again, want to apply this to this model to every city without thinking about the planning that goes involved. In Washington, D.C. alone, there are about, I think at the start of the end of last school year, so at the end of June, there were 52,000 students enrolled in public schools in Washington, D.C., throughout the city. And that's pre-K through 12th grade. Again, where are we going to put these students? A lot of these students, people are talking about how they're having problems in virtual learning. A lot of these students were having problems in school before virtual learning. They were having problems in school inside a physical classroom pre-pandemic. Mm-hmm. In addition to that, you have to take into consideration all of the elements that hinder a successful classroom outside. You have weather. You have people walking down the street twerking, trying to interrupt your classroom, your kitchen. you have police sirens. So I can never, when I'm teaching on Zoom throughout the week, I can never have my windows open because of the sirens or the outside noise, because it hinders, it pauses the classroom. So you have cars running by, you have sirens, you have weather, you have potential crime. You have people walking down the street who might not respect your classroom, who may, you know, yell out, who may taunt your students. Neo, your wife posted a picture. So Neo's wife owns a gym.
Yep.
Posh Fitness in College Park, Maryland.
Posh.fit.
So she posted a picture because we had some heavy rains this week.
We did.
And she posted a picture. She had a tent for what I assume was some type of outside gym class or something. And she posted a picture of the tent that got knocked down during a windstorm.
Yeah.
Now imagine if little kids are in that. In addition to precipitation with weather, you're talking rain, you're talking snow, you're also talking allergies.
Yep.
I am extremely allergic to the outside.
Yep.
And so it would take a lot of planning. This is not an easy thing that we could jump into. I could see it happening in cities because the picture that I actually posted, when I posted this story or the promo for this segment online, that was from a picture of a classroom in St. Louis. So several schools in St. Louis started outside instruction in September, but not the entire St. Louis public school system. These were very small, most of them private schools. So they're funded not with city funds, but also with private funds, and they have smaller classrooms. The average size of a DC public school classroom is upwards of 25 students. Where are you going to put them? So in theory, it makes a lot of sense. It's a grand idea, but it takes a lot of planning, and I don't think it's something that would work effectively for Washington, D.C. I think it might work more perfectly in warmer climates. In states like California, not Florida, because Florida has a lot of hurricanes and the hurricane season, you know, is long. Plus Florida is a little crazy, you know, and we don't want the kids outside. But also think about security. It also ups the level of security that you have to have because it's not a controlled environment. You got kids wandering off here and there. So there are a lot of things that go into this topic. And so in all of my arguing and fussing with people all week, I just wanted to let them know that this isn't an easy fix. No. And you also have to ask the teachers, do I want to go outside and teach? Hell no. I do not.
All right, let's get to some of these comments online. All right. So Kevin Thaxton said, which one was the hottest parts of the school?
I would say the third floor, heat rises.
That's true.
And down by the pool, and that exhaust down by the pool, yeah.
My cousin, Jeanette Brown says, my cousin's kids in Central Florida are in school outside. Wonder if Southern Cal does have the same. I have thought of relocating for winter there. I bet. Did you see something, Gianni?
Yeah, Mike Winter said, in fact, the CDC is currently focusing on using Duke's pandemic response experience as a model. I can only assume that there was a combination of all of this going on at Duke now. Duke University he's speaking about.
Jacqueline Robinson says Florida also has that idiot governor DeSantis. All right, so we're definitely out of time. So let's move on to our next hot topic, and I believe that's going to be Gianni Storm.
Truth, lies, shenanigans.
Okay. Right. So the entertainment industry has been talking about a recent lawsuit, not just any lawsuit. It's a lawsuit involving Universal Studios. Everybody knows them from like E.T., the Jaws, and like the big hitters, right? So Universal is being sued by Black American comedian and actor Faison Love. So if you don't know Faison, he's been in things like Friday with
Ice Cube.
Big Worm.
Yeah, Big Worm, exactly. He was in Elf.
He was an elf, yeah, the manager at Gimbals.
Yeah, he was an elf. Like, he was like in all of these classic kind of films. He was in Big Mama's House. So yeah, just to name a few. So now get this. Faison Love is suing Universal for racially discriminating him by taking him and his co-star off of the promo posters for the couple's retreat movie that they started in back in. So, Neo, if you want to put up the trailer.
Absolutely.
You are not buying some 20-year-old broad a motorcycle.
And this girl makes you feel young again.
Bang, bang.
She's a kid. Hire a Hello Kitty book.
He's silly.
Yeah. So, Faison says in his interview with Vlad TV, and I quote, "The movie came out and there are two posters. One comes out and everybody's on it, and the second one, all the Black people are off of it." And I'm like, what the F? So they had the poster at the press junket, like for the movie and stuff. And so his co-star actually noticed it. Her name's Callie Hawk.
Yeah.
And so together they asked the producers about like what's happening. You know, we're not on the promo picture for the press junket. Like, we're here. This is awkward.
Yeah.
And so the producers are like, oh, we don't know what happened. We must have ran out of ink. Like, so they were kind of like.
Yeah, I have a clip for you if you want to play it. Where he explains all this. Yep, I got you.
Racist. And this is probably the only time I've ever experienced racism. Because I never gave a fuck about racist people. As long as they don't touch me. You know, I can be a nigger from across the street. But you girl come across the street.
No N-word.
I'm going to show you the grave. That's what we call it. I'm going to show them the grave. But this was different because we did the movie Couples Retreat. And there's two posters. There's a poster with everybody on it, including the two Black people. And then there's another poster with the Black people. Callie Hawk was so smart that she plays my coach. And I didn't even notice it. I hate looking at myself. She said, you know what's been on the poster? I look, I'm like, oh, shit. The suits come around. Scott Stuber runs Netflix now. Oh, what happened? The printer must have ran out of ink. We're so sorry. We didn't know. We if Vince Vaughn would have been left off the poster, somebody would be like, motherfucker, where's Vince? But the only two niggas on the poster are left off. And if you look at the poster, we're way in the back. We can just take these people off and nobody's ever going to know. Adam focusing on he says, well, we didn't know if they knew you over there. Well, how are they going to be? The only two Black people in the movie are off the poster. And then there's a breach of contract here, too. Like, you can't just take me off a poster and not everybody else. But it's so blatantly racist. It's blatantly saying, fuck you, what you gonna do, nigga? They didn't take us out the movie. And then they're still promoting that in different countries like that.
Neo, you have that. You picked that clip or Gianni picked that clip?
Gianni picked that clip.
Woo, Gianni, yeah. You get some points. For person, you get some points with
fucking
girl.
I'm sorry. I mean, but I feel like the reason I chose that clip because it's like, I know that some things are offensive to people and that's not my intention, of course, but it's like, you have to kind of feel what he's saying. So sometimes you swear for emphasis. You know what I mean?
Girl, you're preaching to
You're talking to the wrong one over there. She knows all about emphasis.
So I guess my question to you guys, and then he also just mentioned, just to recap, He also just mentioned that people overseas, people overseas were saying, hey, the promo pictures for Couples Retreat are out, but you and Callie Hoff are not on these posters and the promo and stuff like that. So now he's fighting Universal in 2020. I almost forgot what year we're in. So now he's fighting Universal. And my question to you guys are, do you think that he should fight Universal, or do you think he should just let it go?
Let's start with Robbie on that one.
All right. So it's important to note that with the two posters, yes, there's one that's used domestically in North America and then one that's used internationally. So I know historically Black performers do not test well in Asian markets. And the Asian market is a huge slice of the pie. If you can break into the Asian market, then it doesn't matter how it does in North America. That's just a joke. That's a drop in the bucket. So unfortunately, there's a lot of racist ideas that are still very well entrenched, and I understand the business reasoning for it. That being said, I'm glad that he's shining a light on this, and hopefully through dialogue and China, again, just putting the spotlight on it, that, you know, maybe the studios can turn around and say, you know what, we don't care. This is who's in the movie. This is how we're promoting it. That's it. But they are in direct competition with a huge movie industry in several Asian markets. So it's, I'm not saying that it's ethical. I'm not saying that it's right, but I understand the business case for it.
Let me jump in real quick. So one thing Faison said later in that interview is the reason he's doing it now is because after that movie in 2009, which was Couples Retreat, actors like John Boyega from Star Wars, if you remember from Star Wars, he was like shrinked down in one of his movie posters for an overseas poster. And there was another actor that he had mentioned, can't recall the name. But he said if he had done something about his issue, then maybe those things would not have happened to them. So, you know, I don't care that it's years later, you know, and he's making a fuss. I say it's better late than never. You know, like he said, you know, when the suits told him, you know, we figure they won't know you over there. Well, he said, how will they get to know me then if you're going to take me off the poster and everything? How do they get to know, you know, the Black man or in the poster? So, I'm not mad that he's making a fuss of it. Lizzie?
I'm not mad that he's making a fuss, but Robbie touched on a very important point here when he talked about international markets versus U.S. domestic markets. So as I've repeated 1,000 times, you know, I lived in Europe. I lived in Finland for 1.5 years. And when I lived there, the bodyguard, remember the bodyguard with Whitney Houston and yep. Kevin Costner? That came out, worldwide success. However, the poster for the bodyguard that was played, that was published, that was marketed, that was everywhere in the United States was not the same poster that I saw in Finland. The poster that was in Finland had Whitney Houston kind of like a shadow. You couldn't see her face. She was kind of off to the side. Kevin Costner was the one who was highlighted in that particular poster because he was the bodyguard and he was white and this was Finland and I was the only Black person in Finland. So they weren't really, you know, marketing to me. But that's something that people need to understand is that international marketing is completely different.
But does it make it right? It could be different.
You didn't let me finish.
Okay.
Thank you very much. international marketing is completely different than what we have here. With that said, I appreciate that he is putting this on the map because maybe it will get some of our Black actors and actresses or actors and actresses of color to start to think about the negotiation process when they sign these contracts. He said when he was talking in that interview, he said it's also a breach of contract. Well, really, is it a breach of contract?
Yeah, I doubt it's in his contract.
That you were supposed to be on a poster? Now you can, moving forward, that could be something that you talk to your agent about that you include to prevent this from happening. But I don't think he has any ground to stand on, any leg to stand on there. Honestly, I don't even think he's really going to win this lawsuit. But I do appreciate that he's putting the word out that this is the process. This is what happens. That oftentimes we are downplayed when it's not a domestic market. Oftentimes we're downplayed when it is a domestic market.
Right.
But once you get outside of the United States and they feel as though, well, ain't nobody, you know, sweating black folks anyway. So why do you matter? Why do you care? That gives them the incentive. And when I say them, I'm talking about Hollywood executives, if you will. That gives them the incentive to move you to the back and make you blend in with the water that's, you know, on the beach or what have you. So these are some things that I appreciate that he's bringing to the forefront, because now it's a conversation.
Yeah.
Now people know. Yep. Now people may put this into their contracts, or when, because there's now a lot of international touring for these movies. Like, you have a red carpet, you know, movie release here. You'll have one in London. Like Neo said, you'll have one in Asia. Well, if I go to Asia, I better see some representation for me, or we're going to have a problem. So I do appreciate that he is making this matter known 100%.
So Gianni, what are your thoughts?
So I really like you guys' discussion on it. Like, cause I felt like maybe he's, you know, kind of like doing what a lot of people are doing. And, you know, obviously I'm black, so I can feel like I can
really
see this, but like,
Neo might argue with you about whether you're black or not, girl. So, you know, you gotta be careful.
No, I let her define who she is. Nope. She can define exactly who she is.
No, at first I did think, I was like, well, maybe, because I'm thinking it's almost 11 years, Faison. Why are you, what's happening? But then I'm thinking, you know, why not? Like you said, Neil, like, why not? Like, why are we still having this narrative where it's like you guys, Robbie and Liz, can say, well, in overseas market, it's kind of like they're more whitewashed or they're lightwashed or whatever.
Yeah.
So I think it's just like, it's like, no, we have to change the narrative. Like, we're growing. That's the point. You know, we just have to be more progressive and move past this whole.
Yeah, we have to be worldwide now. Forget about those international markets. We need to make changes worldwide. I agree with you. All right. So we have some comments online. Do you want to take care of those, Gianni?
Yeah. Jacqueline Robinson said, yikes, isn't Vince Vaughn an IQ45 supporter?
I think he is, actually. Yeah, I think I heard that.
I didn't know that. And I love Vince Vaughn.
It's all about the money. Yeah. Hollywood is all about the money.
Let's see here. Ernest Cooper said, representation matters. You can't make a case for whatever press junkets for months on end. I would say if you want me to do promo, then I need to be on the marketing materials as well.
Yep.
All right. But I mean, even with that comment, I think a lot of actors, especially young actors, they don't understand the business and understand that there's a different marketing push domestically than there is internationally. And so again, this starts the conversation.
Yep.
This gets the word out.
Yep. All right, we've got to move on to our next hot topic. And this time I've got my problems fixed. So.
Truth, lies, shenanigans.
All right. So for those in our audience that aren't aware, after the Election Day vote, there are two Senate seats in Georgia that are still up for grabs. Now, I could try to explain this whole runoff election thing, but because of time, just know nobody won a majority of the votes. But now they have to do a second election in Georgia for both of those seats. And this is important because the Senate has 100 seats and is currently split 50-48 leaning Republican. If the Dems pick up those two Senate seats in Georgia, then they will have a majority in the Senate because Vice President Kamala Harris, who's a Democrat, will be able to cast the deciding vote. So.
And Mitch the bitch will be out of luck. Yes.
Yes. All right, so, which would be great, by the way. All right. So here's the problem. Georgia Secretary of State Brad Raffensperger, a Republican, says he's launched investigations to several groups, including one founded by Georgia candidate for governor and Democratic superstar, Stacey Abrams.
Hey, girl.
For seeking to aggressively register, in quotes, ineligible, out-of-state, or deceased voters. The groups being investigated include America Votes, Vote Forward, and New Georgia Project, which was the one founded by Abrams and previously chaired by one of the actual Georgia Senate candidates, Raphael Warnock. Now, Raffensperger said he'd received specific evidence that these groups have solicited voter registrations from ineligible individuals who have passed away or live out of state, and that he's issued warnings several times to these groups. So, my panel, question to you. Do we think that this is grandstanding and more Trumpism, or are these groups really registering fake voters? I'll start with, I want to start with the Atlantean, Georgia, Gianni Storm.
I'm shook. I was like, I don't believe it. I feel like it is antics of the Trump terror mob group. But I just feel like that would be really kind of disgusting if that's true. That would be really disgusting and disappointing. But my thought so far is I don't believe it. I think that I would have to know more facts.
Agree with
to
you.
Really run with that.
Robbie Rock.
It's to me, this is just another thing that's indicative. It's just another thing that's lumped in with the Trump supporter base. Just the lack of ethics, some of the straight up shenanigans that we've seen time and time again. It fits the MO that they're trying to push their agenda at, like Liz keeps saying, that like no matter the cost, at whatever cost. So who cares if you're undermining the democratic process as long as the end result is you're going to get the representation that you want. And I've just seen this too many times from the Trump supporter base.
Yeah. Lizzie?
I'm with Rob B. I don't trust anything they say. Remember, Stacey Abrams, after she lost in the governor's race to, you know, Georgia Governor Brian Kemp, she went out and registered 66,000 people to vote. That's why they're mad. That's why they're nervous, because they know that she has the power of the people and that she can go out in these communities and get these voters to listen to her. So she can give them all of the information about their voting rights, about voting suppression, about what they need to do to vote, and get them to show up on election day. That is the issue here. Mm-hmm. That's why they're concerned. Remember, for the past 2 weeks, President Trump has been blasting the state of Georgia for their recount, for their certification. Now he's saying that he regrets supporting Brian Kemp because Brian Kemp's like, there is no voter fraud in the state of Georgia.
Right.
And now all of a sudden we're gonna decide, okay, we have this election coming up where these two Senate seats, very important Senate seats, are up for grabs. And now here comes Stacey Abrams again. She might ruin it for us. So let's investigate her. Mm-hmm. Let's again point the finger at her. So I don't believe any word they say at all, period. Like, you know, our girl Whitney said, show me the receipts.
Yep. And they said they said they had evidence, right? But so my thoughts are, I think it's possible that these groups may have accidentally registered some voters that were dead or out of state. I'm sure it happens all the time. Or maybe some individuals in the groups tried some shenanigans, you know, that's possible. But as you're seeing with the recounts, we're talking a handful of votes, right? So we're talking like it may happen. These things may happen, but we're talking maybe 10 votes, 20 votes, at most 100.
But also remember, the New York Times investigated when Trump was making these allegations after the election, mm-hmm. when he was making these allegations about all of these dead people voting, mm-hmm. the New York Times went and did an investigation, yep. and they found no evidence of that. Nothing.
Yep.
So
I mean,
here we are again.
Do I believe the possibility? It's possible. It's possible. But the problem is with Trump's grandstanding, you know, this is a perfect opportunity for them to be like, you see, here's proof they're cheating. Even if they find one person doing it, one person, let's say one person out of the group signed up accidentally, on purpose, whatever. And then they say, we have proof they're cheating. So now they can hold that and say, you know, especially with Abrams, like you said, Lizzie, being so effective at registering real voters, you know, they need to do whatever it takes to undermine those efforts. So this is just a matter of, look, we got a platform where I can do all these speeches and then tell everybody I'm investigating this BS, you know, even if it's one person. Because I'm sure when they did their recounts, they found a couple of votes of dead people. I'm sure.
Show me the receipts.
I gotta see the receipts. I gotta see the receipts. All right, so we got a little extra time. Liz E., you had something you wanted to talk about. Let's try to knock it out. You got exactly 2 minutes.
Let me ask the panel, how many times have you twerked in your life, honestly? Is that a lot? Is that 10,000?
Yeah, this a lot being zero.
I got no back.
How many times have you twerked in public at a restaurant, on top of the table, in the window, up against the glass?
Zero.
That's not true, Gianni. Stop lying. Stop lying, Gianni.
So, one of the hot topics that was trending this week was this viral video of this Dallas restaurant owner of True Kitchen Restaurant, who cursed out of some of his customers in the restaurant because apparently he had a DJ in the restaurant. They were playing some type of trap music, turn up music, what have you. This one party in the restaurant decided that they were going to dance, which is fine. I've been in restaurants where they've danced before, but they decided they were going to take it to another level. They started twerking. Waitstaff came out and told them to stop twerking. They got up on the tables. Waitstaff told them to get off of the tables. Then one young lady decided that she was going to get on the table, go up to the glass, put her hands on the glass, and start shaking it, y'all. Back out, whatever. And so the owner comes out and cusses everybody up. So the question is, who's right, who's wrong?
All right, you got 1 minute. Gianni.
It's the culture. Like, we are, like, okay, because I'm from up north, so it's hard to say, but it's respectfully, don't twerk in restaurants that are high class. But I understand why she did.
Okay, Robbie.
Might have been playing.
She got excited about the music. Go ahead, Robbie.
Time and place. I'm in place. Sure. Get up and move. Have fun. Read the room. If you're getting up on the furniture and twerking and everyone's kind of going, eh, if you're harsh and everybody else is good time, just read the room. Do the right thing.
I'm kind of in agreement with this one because I don't know. I probably would have been, you know, you got to set standards and expectations for your establishment. I know if, you know, there's certain things going on that, you know, at the wife studio, you know, you got to shut that down. Well, what do you think, Lizzie? You got 4 seconds.
I think he was totally within his rights to do that. And as I've said earlier to people, you know, I can dance with Gingy here because I'm in the comfort of my own home.
Do some twerking. Let's do the twerking. Let's do it.
I know how to act when I'm in public. And I've been to high-class restaurants where they play party music, where they play club music, where they play house music. Ain't nobody on the tables. Ain't nobody in the windows.
Hey.
You would have been kicked out of that spot. And the fact that they had to be asked 3 times prior just makes it even worse. Like, come on, people.
All right, so Jose says, like Lizzie, Robbie, I wish I knew how to twerk. Teach me.
Lizzie.
Lizzie just could. All right. Mike Winter says, Rob B., you haven't been shaking. What you got? ? Ernest Cooper says, there's no widespread evidence of voters cheating. There's significant evidence of voter suppression. That's a good point.
Oh, yeah.
That's a good point. Kevin Thack says, no way that there can be more than one John Smith. All right. All right. There's a lot of good comments online. Sorry, we got to move on, though. So Appreciate your comments and thoughts.
Truth, lies, shenanigans.
All right, time to jump into our game show. All right. This should be a fun one. For the first time, did it not come up? Where's my game show? Here we go. All right. There we go. Now we got our game. Technical difficulties tonight. All right. For the first time, you'll all be working together. All right. Ooh. You guys will need to pick a captain to make all the final answers. But you'll all be able to consult with one another, and you'll have two lifelines. You'll have a 50-50 where the computer will take away two wrong answers, and you'll be able to ask our audience online. I'll give you a little extra time for the answers to come in. All right. So, at the end of the game, our audience is going to select the most valuable player out of the team, and that person will give the final thought. So, make sure you're showing off your knowledge here. All right. So, who's going to be your captain? Pick a captain.
This is Johnny's first appearance, so I want to put all the pressure on her.
All right, Johnny, you are officially the captain. You will let us know if this is a final answer or not.
Come on, Hazel.
All right.
Come on, Miss Hazel Valentine.
So we're ready to see how much money we can win. All right, what computer company makes the Macintosh? A, IBM, B, Microsoft, C, Apple, or D, Regis Philbin? You can communicate with your team.
A what for the teacher? A what for the teacher? Apple.
You going with Apple, Gianni?
Yes.
All right. Is this your final answer? You're right. All right. Good job. All right. Next question. Which fairy tale did the witch get baked in the oven? A, Jack and Jill. B, Hansel and Gretel. C, Three Little Pigs, or D, Little Red Riding Hood?
B. Hansel und Gretel.
B.
I'm waiting for it. Okay, B. All right. B, is that your final answer?
Yes.
All right. You are correct. You are correct. All right. Next question. How many governors are there currently in the United States? A, 10. B, 50. C, 25, D, 100.
I think it's D, guys.
Liz?
Yeah, did you get some help? What's the answer?
It's B.
B, are we going with B? B, is that the final answer?
Yes. Liz knows more about politics.
Well, it's 50 states, right?
No, she got it right.
So it's two senators.
Aren't there some governors? Isn't there a governor in Puerto Rico?
I thought there were two. Oh.
Isn't there a governor in Puerto Rico? I thought there was a governor in Puerto Rico. Anyway.
Puerto Rico is a commonwealth. It's not in the United States.
They said how many governors? It's still in the United States. Okay. We'll move on. Next question. How many states have names starting with the letter K? By the way, we're at $500. A1, B2. D3 or D4? How many states have names starting with the letter K? You can use a 50-50 or you can ask your audience.
Two. Kentucky, Kansas. Two, I think.
Two? So everybody's in agreement with two? Remember, the game ends if you get this wrong. It's two? Final answer?
Yeah, I think it's just two.
All right. You're correct. All right. All right. You passed the first stage. You passed the first stage. 1,000. You have 1,000. So you'll definitely walk away. If you get this, you'll walk away with 1,000. All right. What color is the top half of Campbell's Soup can label? A, blue. B, red. C, white. D, gold.
D.
All right.
Red, white.
White.
Help her out. Help her out. Come on, guys. Team effort. So what is it? Nobody's helping her. What the heck?
Robbie helped her?
Oh, maybe I couldn't hear. What'd you say?
Yeah, he said white.
He said white.
White.
Okay. So white, is that your final answer?
Yeah.
All right. No, it's red. Oh. Oh, now the game is over. Boo. Boo.
But.
Boo. Boo. The top half.
In the words of Regis Philbin, the horror.
The horror. All right, well, that's it for our game show. You won $0, by the way. $0. You walk away with zero. Wow. Zero. You can blame Rob B.
What was the real payout if we made it to the top?
You would have won $1,000,000.
Oh, sorry. I was thinking of Campbell Soup Canada. There's.
All right, guys. Now, vote for who was the most helpful. We already know who the most unhelpful was. So, who was the most helpful? All right, let's get our shout outs in. Let's get some shout outs. All right, Gianni Storm, let's get some shout outs.
I want to shout out to the audience and everybody that commented tonight. We had really good comments, so thank you guys for doing that. We love when you guys engage and make you a part of the show. So thanks.
Robbie Rock, shout out.
Shout out to Jose for ripping on me for losing that game. Way to go, babe. Way to go.
Lizzie Enders.
Shout out to the Washington Wizards. Breaking news, the Wizards are supplying Russell Westbrook from the Rockets.
What? Why? And they get John Wall back next season too?
Woo. I have to go to some hoops games, y'all, up in D.C.
How did they acquire him? I need to know.
Well, Russell Westbrook was very unhappy, you know, and he's been talking about, everyone thought he was going to go to Charlotte.
Uh-huh.
That was the first indication, but apparently, nope, he is going to DC. He's coming to DC now.
All right.
All his fashion.
I got a special shout out to Rupka and Jose, who recently joined our TLS family. Jose will be managing our Twitter pages, and Rupka will be covering Instagram. Also, we're working a way to get you guys involved in contributing to TLS, so stick with us. Early 2020, we'll be telling you how you can contribute to Truth Lies Shenanigans. All right, guys, that's all the time we have for tonight. I'd like to thank you guys for joining us. We hope that maybe you learned something, gained a new perspective, or even got some things off your chest. Don't forget to like, follow, subscribe at TLS Live Show. And if you missed any of our live show today, check out our clips online on YouTube, Facebook, tomorrow for you to share them out. Now, Rob B puts a whole lot of work into getting those clips out for you every show. So let's show him some love. Check out those clips. Click like or subscribe and then share. Don't forget, also subscribe to the podcast on iTunes, Spotify, Google, Alexa. Had a fun time tonight. I hope you did too. Make sure you watch our next show on Sunday, 4 p.m. Eastern Time, 1 p.m. Pacific.
Specifically, 1 p.m.
We do have a special guest. We have a special guest host joining us, Angela Cherie from the Ever Evolving Podcast. She's really awesome, so make sure you check out her podcast and her Instagram page at the Ever Evolving Podcast. All right, so who is our winner? Let me look online. Who's our winner tonight? We're just going to give it to the captain, Gianni Storm. Gianni Storm, you get our final thought for the night.
Final thought. I just hope everybody has a good rest of the year. We're closing the year. So just stay positive. Hopefully 2021 will be better. And yeah, just stay positive, everybody. High vibes, high vibration.
All right, guys. Great show tonight.
See you soon.
Work with it. Do it at home. Shenanigans. Truth, lies, shenanigans. Truth, lies.